course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too shabby. Ready for another episode and ready to record.
Yeah, well, good thing. That's what we're doing here.
That's right.
Good that you're ready. So, all right, on this episode, we are going to review the movie Delicate Arch, which is available now on Screambox. But we got lots to talk about before we get there. And let's start off with Ike. Did you watch anything this week?
Oh yeah, I watched a couple things. Last night I finished the series Dexter, like the main series, so that's officially in the books. Would definitely recommend anyone to watch it. It's a super good show. I mean, literally start to finish. There's a couple low spots, but honestly, it's, such a good show. Highly recommend. And we're gonna get started on the next Dexter show here shortly, and then we also started a rewatch of Haunting of Hill House, which is a Mike Flanagan show, which is always a good time. And then other than that, I actually watched a movie, but I'm going to save that movie for the horror hot take because it has part to do with that. So I won't spoil the surprise on that one until we talk about that in just a little bit.
Interesting. Well, all right. Well, I don't think I watched anything horror related. Kind of boring there. So, all right, let's move on.
Order up. Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it is time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where Ike and I present to you a cheesy horror movie that you should watch. And kind of keeping with the theme of the show, we are presenting to you this episode of the movie Tourist Trap, written by David Schmellers. I don't know what his name is. J. Larry Carroll, directed by the David S. Guy. Starring Chuck Connors, Jocelyn Jones, Joe Van Ness, Tony Roberts, Tanya Roberts, it's not Tony, it says Tony, but it's Tanya Roberts, and others. The movie was released March 16, 1979, and is described as a group of young friends stranded at a secluded roadside museum are stalked by a masked assailant who uses his telekinetic powers to control the attraction's mannequins. The movie is available to watch on Peacock or Tubi. And I have seen this movie before. It is every bit as kind of goofy and cheesy as that description says. And it is a it's a fun watch, but what you'd expect from a 1979 movie titled Tourist Trap. So, but that is our cheesy slasher of the week. So let's move on. Talk to us, internet. And it is time for Talk to Us Internet. This is where Ike and I either respond to some listener feedback online, or we just discuss a topic that we have seen on social media, which is where we're at this episode. And since we kind of have a traveling and sightseeing theme, I saw a post that kind of sparked and clicked with that. Ike, I present to you, have you ever seen anything terrifying while traveling?
Well, I've traveled through Alabama, so I think that answers that question.
That is terrifying.
I kid, I kid. But no, honestly, I've done my fair share of traveling. I don't know what you would classify as truly terrifying. But in my travels, I have been through a couple of sundown towns, which if you don't know what that means, I'm not going to explain it to you, but they are truly terrifying. They're the kind of town that you roll in and the people who are around you don't exactly take kindly to strangers. Banjos are playing if you catch my drift. And beyond that, I've driven through Wyoming and Montana at night, which is a trip because Wyoming is just super wide open and not super hilly at all. It's the plains, the Great Plains. And at night, you're driving along and you're speeding along the interstate, which, first and foremost, the interstates, the speed limits are like 80, 85. So much different than most metropolitan areas, which are 60 to 70. So you're going super duper fast, and you just see these eyes all around on the roads because there's all kinds of livestock and animals on the sides of the roads. They have deer and all manner of animals. So it was very spooky driving those open stretching roads. So yeah, I've seen some weird stuff while traveling. I don't know if I've ever experienced something truly terrifying, but weird nonetheless.
Me too. I mean, I've experienced places where, it's creepy or spooky or whatnot, or, stopping at a shady gas station or a shady rest stop, or, being on a stretch of road at night that's kind of peculiar, or, going through, I've been through some little towns in Mississippi that, look like they were like locked in 60 years ago, that were kind of weird, and things like that. And, literally in Mississippi, saw an old abandoned hospital that was still called, the John F. Kennedy Hospital.
Right.
Not memorial. I don't think it was a memorial thing, but just weird stuff like that. But nothing I would call like a haunted, terrifying type deal. But definitely, plenty of stuff that's creepy, and and scary, but more in a kind of a real world setting. Traveling can do that sometimes, depending on. When I don't like driving at night anyway, because it's just, I'm just not, I don't know. I'm not built for it. I get tired, and when I'm a sunshine kind of person, but driving at night in some places can be kind of weird.
It
And
can be.
when you don't know what you're, when you don't know the area, and it lots of things can, it's just creepy. It can be disorienting depending on where you're at, and just lots of weird things. So, so just, be safe when you're traveling out there. And but I still encourage people to travel, because it's still a fun thing, still a good thing to do. So, all right, let's move on.
Horror hot take.
And it's time for our horror hot take. This is where Ike or I give a kind of a just what it says, a hot take about horror. Either whether it's about a movie, whether it's about horror in general, a genre, whatever it might be, it's a strong opinion on something. Typically, well, actually, I guess I should say typically, every time so far it's been Ike. And no different today. And as we saw the teaser earlier, Ike has something to do with in the vein of a particular movie. So, Ike, what is your horror hot take for this episode?
Absolutely. And here's the deal. I always preface it by saying this very well may not be a hot take to some people. This may just be plain common sense. But o over the weekend, my lovely wife Kayla, she works for the library. She put a hold on a movie that came out last year, and I never got a chance to watch it. It was something that Dave watched and he really enjoyed.
Okay.
And I sat for a minute and I was like, I'm curious about this movie, but I was a little hesitant going into it because I didn't really understand it. But she brought home The Substance, and I finally got a chance to watch it.
Wait, by
And
your initial, you didn't like it? Okay.
no, here's what I'm going to say. If you haven't seen the Substance, okay. And I went online after I watched it, and there's a lot of people who did not like this movie. Okay.
Those
There's a
people are
lot.
wrong.
I was going to say, those people who did not see the same movie that I saw cannot be. Because, I guess the kind of hot take here is that I watched this movie last year prior to our 2024 review, I think that this would have very much competed for number one. I think that this could have dethroned Terrifier 3 had it had a couple of tweaks here and there, but it is a strong contender for number two. But I enjoyed that movie so much. I sat there, I watched it, I was enthralled throughout the entire movie. that not a moment of that movie passed that I was like, whoa, what's going on? Like, I was like completely like watching the movie, sucked into it. And it was easily one of the weirdest fucking movies I've watched in a very long time, but it was so freaking good, dude. And I'm honestly a little sad that I didn't watch it last year. So I guess my horror hot take is that had I watched it, it probably made my top five, if not higher.
Yeah, I don't argue that. I have no doubts had I watched it in the time, it would have at least been number two. It would have been, you know, I don't know whether it would have knocked off Terrifier 3. That might be a biased view. It definitely would have been number two. It would have been one or two, one or the other. I don't, there was just, the movie was so damn good. All the accolades it's getting, all the nominations it's getting, so well deserved. Demi Moore, just spot on, amazing. The movie, everything about it was just amazing. The effects were amazing. The story was amazing. The execution was amazing. The cinematography, just everything. The movie, it was creepy. It was weird. It was just so much fun. Absolutely loved the movie. It was one of those movies that it's like, I was getting ready to watch it, and I was like, come on, man, this is getting so much hype. It can't be. It can't be that. It's like, you know, it's like, it's got, you know, so many people were talking about it, and I was like, come on. And I watched it, and I was like, yeah, okay, you know what? The hype might actually be even underselling this thing, because it is deserving of everything. All the praise, all the nomination, everything he gets. Movie was so damn good. And it, I can see why, because it does have a lot of across the board appeal, even for non-horror fans. I could see why this is, you know, getting lots of nominations and lots of attention, because yes, it's a horror movie. Yes, it's creepy and spooky, and it's got great effects and some, you know, some whatever else, but it's got a spectacular cast. It's well executed. I can see why it's got a lot of mainstream appeal. And yeah, it was so good. Absolutely loved it. One of those movies that I'm actually kind of dying to rewatch. It was just, oh, so good. Demi Moore was just, oof, she was perfect in it. She was so good.
She really was. And I don't know, I'm assuming she did win an Oscar for the movie.
I believe so, yes. And yeah, she deserves it.
Absolutely. That would have been, yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of, you know what, I feel like, you know, that's kind of us dropping the ball, not have seen it within the calendar year before, prior to making that. We did, you know, we did say at that time, hey, these movies are being talked, you know, this movie's being talked about a lot. We haven't seen it. So in all fairness, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it definitely, no doubt in my mind, would have impacted our top five in some capacity. Like for me personally, it would have, if I mean, just off the top of my head, it would have been number two for me for last year. So, you know, in my abridged top five, that's number two. I don't remember what, you know, we had in at five, but you know, sorry about your luck. It was getting bumped. And, you know, it was so good. So good. Anyways, it was very creepy and weird. And, that's, it's very befitting, when we, you know, for when we get to talk about the movie today, which was also pretty creepy and weird. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So, very good. Yeah, definitely a hot take. I think that is a hot take. It's a hot take on us. It's us taking the heat there.
It is. At,
you know, us as reviewers, us as podcasters, we dropped the ball on that one. It should have been our due diligence. We should have made sure we saw it in time so that we could have given a fair assessment, because our top five is definitely blemished because of that. So
absolutely. Yeah, definitely an incomplete list, in my opinion.
Yes, definitely. So, but you know what? Not that it impacts anything in the world, but that's okay.
No.
It'll probably, you know, keep me awake at night. So, but it is what it is. But I do love The Substance. Anybody that has not seen it yet, you got to see it. You absolutely have to see it. And I can't wait to watch it again. So, all right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will have all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries. I think we got quite a few here to talk about. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, so starting us off at the top, Companion is available video on demand and will be released on physical media on April 11th. Companion is actually one of those ones I didn't get around to seeing in theaters, so I'm glad to see it's got a very quick turnaround onto video on demand, so I'll have to check that out ASAP. But it looks very good. I love, what's his name? The main guy in that movie. He's also in The Boys.
And it's Scream. What is this? Goddamn it. What can I get?
Jack Quaid. Is it Jack
Quaid? Yeah, Jack Quaid. There you go. I was like, it's somebody's son. What's his name?
Yeah, Quaid. Like, wow. Quaid's son. Well, speaking of, Dennis Quaid was in The Substance.
God, he was so funny, too. Oh, my gosh. The damn scene where he's sitting in that restaurant, like eating like whatever it was, the crawfish or whatever it was. That was almost as disturbing as anything. Just the uncomfortable close-ups of him eating. But anyway, yeah. Companion, I've heard some pretty good things about it. I do like Jack Quaid a lot. I'm looking forward to seeing this movie.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then also Sophie Thatcher, who is in Heretic, which got pretty high praise from us. So, very good. Which, so we'll have to check that out.
We'll have a mention on that here in a bit on Heretic.
Oh, we sure will, won't we? Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. Moving on up to Terrifier 3 is now streaming on Screambox, which I went on there earlier today to watch the movie that we're reviewing later, Delicate Arch. And I was like, oh, hey, yeah, Terrifier 3 is on here. We need to watch it. But then I was like, oh, but on the other hand, I have the VHS, so I really want to watch that. So I have to dig my VHS player out eventually to watch it.
Yeah, Terrifier, it's kind of like a Terrifier takeover of Screambox, too, because it's got, like, I think there's like a, I don't know, whatever, a 10, 15 minute, I don't know what it is, kind of a behind the scenes-y type thing. It's on there and whatever else. I don't know whether, my Screambox was glitching a little, the app. I was trying to scroll down to, how they have the line of the new releases. When I got past, there was a QR code for something Terrifier related. And every time I would scroll down and it would get to that QR code, it would kick me out of the Screambox app. It was very weird.
Right.
So I don't know.
That is weird.
Yeah.
It's probably too many people on there trying to watch Terrifier.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, there's kind of a Terrifier thing. That they now have all three Terrifiers. There's a... one of them, is it two that has the director's commentary, I think, and they have a little bit of a behind the scenes short on three, I think. They have the Yolog thing still up there if anybody wants that, since Bloody Disgusting's got a hand in Screambox and in the production of the Terrifier movies, it makes sense. But that's a feather in their cap that they get the first streaming rights to these movies. So
there you go. Well, hopefully Screambox will become even more popular, more popular, more popular. Hopefully they'll turn into another Shudder. I think they're slowly but surely turning into another Shudder, but I think having some of those IPs like Terrifier on their repertoire definitely helps. We shall see.
I do love Screambox.
I do too. I like the way that Screambox is set up. I don't like that Screambox has so few available apps, like in terms of what's called, what the heck is it called? Like operating systems. Sorry, I couldn't remember the word. And that's the one drawback to Screambox, which I think as they get bigger, they will get more operating systems. Because right now you can get it like on Apple and Android. Yeah. But like certain TVs don't have Screambox apps, which, it is what it is. But
yeah, they got a pretty good selection of some, some underground type movies, some movies that you haven't heard of. There's a lot of what I would call hidden gems on there. If you scroll through, there's always something that will pop to watch. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. But very cool. So we'll keep an eye out on Screambox and see what more Terrifier goodness we get from them. But moving on to our next little bit of news, which is actually pretty interesting. I saw this on social media myself, so it's cool to see it on here. Linda Cardellini, known for her roles in Scooby-Doo, Curse of La Llorona, and many, many more, Freaks and Geeks and things of that nature.
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, yeah.
Ant-Man. Was it Ant-Man? No. Well, I don't know. She might have been Ant-Man, but she played Hawkeye's wife, right?
Yeah. She was, you're right, Hawkeye's wife. So she was like
some,
a native
some of the Avengers. Yeah.
You're right. I was like, wait a second. Ant-Man, maybe.
She might have been in the one Ant-Man with the quantum whatever. There might have been a bit part with a Hawkeye. I don't know. Whatever. She played Hawkeye's wife.
So, yeah.
Anyway. Not the point.
No, it's not. But still, very good actress. But she is in talks to play Mrs. Voorhees in the Crystal Lake series. So really cool to see that they're having more news drop about the Crystal Lake series, because obviously it's been dead in the water, no pun intended, for as long as I can, remember at this point. I feel like we'll get a little bit of news and then it'll just go completely cold for weeks and months, and then we'll get a little bit more, and then this, that, and the other. And there was even that time where they're like, oh, hey, it's not happening anymore. But this is good news. I think Linda Cardellini would do a fantastic job in that role.
Yeah, I mean, number one, yeah, I like the fact that it's her, because I like her. I think she would be great at it. But I think the bigger picture is, hey, yeah, it's Crystal Lake news. It is. So they're still working on it. They're still doing things. They're still in development. So that's the big exciting part. No offense to her, which is exciting in its own right. But it's just nice to hear something that, hey, they're still working on this.
There you go. And hopefully we'll get some information on when the show's actually going to come out.
I'm ready for it. I'm dying to see what they put out.
We've been ready for it. We have been ready for this show, and it's just, I feel like they keep killing us with it. They keep killing us with those little bits of information and radio silence, and so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But
all right, we're gonna move on to our next little bit of information. This is the last little bit of information, a little bit of news, which is actually really exciting too. I mean, all of this is exciting. This is just a good news week. But Cineverse and Bloody Disgusting have acquired the license to Wolf Creek and will be releasing Wolf Creek Legacy in theaters fall 2026. Wolf Creek's actually a lot of fun. There's two movies and a couple seasons of like a TV series type deal. You can watch all of them on Tubi. I know this for a fact. I watched them on there. Mm-hmm. The movies are pretty good. Honestly, the TV show, it works really well in long form format. And it's really enjoyable. It's very interesting, characters and everything else. But there's obviously a central character who is a recurring role between these movies and TV shows. So I'm very curious if they'll bring him back for the new movie or if they'll cast a new killer. But if you've never seen these movies, they're pretty enjoyable. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've actually never seen any of them, so I need to. When you get something with a name Legacy, it makes you wonder. Because that can mean anything, right? It could be, is it legacy as in it's a sequel to the stuff that's already out there? But then legacy can also imply something prequel-wise. So it's legacy doesn't give you a lot to work with there, because it could really be applicable in different ways. So that doesn't tell us a lot. And that could also change. I feel like there are so many movies that come out there, where they bring back, franchises or whatever else. So it's always like the first news is like, this is whatever legacy. It's like they always put legacy on there and then they end up changing it. So it's like legacy is like that catch all word. So, so who knows? That could even change before we get there. But, I'm excited because, these guys, Cineverse, Bloody Disgusting, they're, got their hands in, that's putting out Terrifiers and what this one, what, whatever else. So, it could be interesting to see what they put out.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, the whole legacy thing, that's a whole thing. It's a little annoying if you ask me. It's just like legacy is such like an overuse. It's like Return of or, Revenge of, stuff like that. So it'll hopefully quickly get washed away with time as we continue to advance our movie naming prowess. We'll see.
Yeah, I wonder how many movies and franchises have at some point had a movie with legacy in it. I mean, I just feel like it's the most overused I don't know. I'm not saying it's not applicable, but it's like, yeah, come on. You know, not everything can do legacy. I understand the word and what, but I don't, it's just weird. Kind of lost its impact to me at this point in time.
Right. You're not even kidding, but anywho, we're gonna move on from that. We'll see how Wolf Creek pans out next year. But in the meantime, let's celebrate some birthdays. February 21st, 1979. Jordan Peele, known for his directing and producing and writing of Get Out, Us, and Nope. Jordan Peele's obviously a very talented person. You know, he also in Key and Peele and plenty of other stuff that, you know, he's quite frankly super funny. But obviously, he has a pretty killer streak with these funny movies, funny, scary, but also scary movies. So, happy birthday to Jordan.
Yeah, and I think there's talk that, you know, of his, you know, doing another horror movie soon, or, you know, being worked on. We keep hearing about it, you know, the next Jordan Peele horror movie. Hopefully that comes as well, because he does some good horror stuff. It's very deep, makes you think, and it is creepy as hell.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, I mean, those are some really creepy movies, especially like Us. Us, in my opinion, is probably my favorite of the three. It's super weird and super creepy. So, but all right, we're gonna move on to February 21st, 1989. So 10 years later, Scout Taylor Compton, who plays Laurie Strode in Rob Zombie's Halloween and Halloween 2. We won't hold it against her, but she did good for what she was provided, and I think she's done some other stuff over the years and horror related. I'm not quite sure, but you know, hey, she did what she could do, and that's all we can ask of her, I think.
I don't know. You know, it's what are you gonna say? There's one Laurie Strode. I'm sorry. You know, there's one Laurie Strode. I don't care who you put in it. If you know, if it's not Jamie Lee Curtis, you're wrong. So it's, you know, much in the same. I hold true to it that, you know what, I don't think Rob Zombie should have done it. I mean, if he was gonna do Halloween, you know, do something new. Don't do, you know, a remake or a re-envisioning or whatever. I unneeded. So, but yeah, not her fault, but it is what it is.
Yeah, like you say, it's not her fault, but you know, it is what it is. But we're going to move on now to February 22nd, 1975. Drew Barrymore, known for her roles in Firestarter and Scream. Firestarter, she was but a wee lass, and in Scream, she was. I think we talked about it before, but it's like a little fun fact that she was originally going to play Neve Campbell's character. But she, you know, she said, you know, hey, maybe let somebody else do that. And Neve Campbell was eventually cast in that role, which is pretty neat. Pretty neat, if you ask me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, no one, you know, at that time, nobody thought that Drew Barrymore was going to get killed so quickly in that movie. That was it was very shocking for the time. You know,
Right.
now we've come to expect it. We've come to expect shocking things from Scream and this and that, but at that time it was like, I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, whoa, you know, that's kind of a major actress there to kill off quick. It's kind of cool, kind of fresh, kind of different. So it was
Really
fun.
is. Yeah, it was definitely a mind fuck because you're like, holy shit, they just killed her. But very fun, very funny times. And we're gonna move on now to February 25th in 1997. Isabelle Fuhrman, known for her role in Esther in the Orphan movies. She was also, I think, Clove in the Hunger Games movie, which is an interesting role to play, of course. And you know, she's done some other stuff, but I think specifically Orphan is what we would know her from best. And she plays a very creepy kid, and then she also plays a very creepy kid as an adult. So I give her kudos for that.
Yeah, it's definitely creepy, and it's I don't know, it's just it's weird, and I think there's gonna be another one. She's gonna do it again, from what I heard. So it's pretty wild.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard that as well. That, like you said, basically, she's going to do another movie. I don't know what the context of the movie is, but yeah, that should be interesting. Should be interesting to see. Very good. We're going to move on now to our last birthday this week, which is February 26, 1977. We have James Wan, known for his roles slash directing in Saw, Conjuring 1 and 2, Insidious, and so on and so forth. You know, he's had his hands in all of these in some way, shape, or form throughout all this time. So, but yeah, absolutely. Fantastic, fantastic. I mean, we talk all the time about how much we love Saw, and there would be no Saw if it were not for our boy, James Wan.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, hey, he needs to get out there, you know, a little more. He's a couple of franchises that he's not a part of yet. You know, he really needs to pick up the ball and pick up the pace a little because, I mean, good grief. I mean, you know, you had a hand in starting the Saw franchise, you know, had a hand in the beginnings of the Conjuring franchise, the Insidious franchise. And look how long all those franchises have ran. So, yeah. And you know, they're not going to get there if he doesn't bring it in strong in the beginning. So, you know,
absolutely.
So, yeah, we have him to, you know, there are others, but we have him to thank in part for those. So
there you go. And we greatly thank him for his part in those. It is greatly appreciated. But all right, we're going to move on to some movie anniversaries. We got our first one coming up on February 22nd, 1990, Bride of Reanimator. I have seen Reanimator. I have not seen Bride of Reanimator quite yet. So that's something I got to get up on top of. But absolutely, I mean, Reanimator is such a good movie. And I have a feeling that Bride Reanimator is hopefully a good movie too. Maybe can give a little more information.
It is. It's fun. Not as good as Reanimator, but it's still fun.
Right.
I like it. I dig it.
He digs it. Well, I'll have to check it out sometime. That's just the nature of, you know, sequels. A lot of sequels are just goofy. It happens. But very cool. Next up is February 24th, 2017. Speaking of our boy Jordan Peele, we have Get Out. His first movie of that sort of series that he's been working on. Super good. Super good. A fantastic movie, like I said. Us is my favorite, but Get Out is a close second, I would say. And then Nope is good too, but I think the other two are so much better. But still, Get Out, fantastic.
Yep. Yep. Good movie.
There you go. All right. And then we have our last movie anniversary, that is February 24th, 2023, Cocaine Bear. And we have a review of this in our archives. Yeah, you know, Cocaine Bear is a hell of a movie. And to this day, I am still supremely surprised that it was made. But yeah, absolutely. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And you can't take it seriously, though.
Yeah, it was very fun. It was one of those movies, it's like you hear the concept and you're like, okay, Cocaine Bear. And then you're like, okay, well, it's based on a true story, so okay, whatever. But it still just sounds like, oh, this is going to be more, you know, too much humor. But it is a fun movie. It is very entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an incredibly entertaining movie, and it's definitely you can't take it serious, but you can have a good time watching it. Just don't, what's the word? Don't expect an Oscar award winning movie. It's just fun, just for funsies. But very good. Well, we're going to move on now to some upcoming releases. We have our first being Nosferatu will be available to stream on Peacock February 21st. You know, we watched it and it was good. It was good-ish. It was in the ballpark of being okay. And, you know, we had our opinions about it. And, you know, we had some things that we thought could have been done better. And, you know, I think we'll probably stick to those guns. But yeah, you know, it is what it is. Watch it for yourself. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, everybody should watch it. Should give it a watch because, like we said when we reviewed it, if nothing else, it is an absolutely gorgeous movie to watch.
Yes,
visually. So, you know, it's worth a watch. It too is getting nominations and some accolades. You know, I think a lot for, you know, costuming, effects, things like that. But you know, those are deserved. And yeah, everybody should watch it. If you call yourself a horror fan, you should at least give it a watch.
Absolutely. But speaking of movies you should give a watch, we have Heretic coming to stream on Max on March the 7th. You know, we just mentioned it, but Heretic, A+, super good movie. Mm-hmm. You know, we both have already kind of said, you know, this is something that we really enjoyed. And if you haven't watched it yet, this is a perfect time to give it a shot. You know, it, hands down, Heretic will, I'm going to say now that, wait, no, Heretic was last year. It wasn't this year. I was about to say it's going to make my top five for 2025 year, but yeah. It was last year. Damn. Time is flying too fast. I get lost in the sauce here. I don't know where I am, but I think Heretic made our top five, or at least was an honorable mention, didn't it?
Yeah, at least an honorable mention. I don't remember, but it was, yeah, it was at least an honorable mention because I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, this is another one of those that, you know, was in theaters and now has that quick turnaround to streaming, so we can check it out again. Mm-hmm. But very good. And we're going to move on to The Monkey. I don't know if you guys have ever watched SpongeBob, but there's a episode where he's with the Flying Dutchman, and the Dutchman's teaching him how to tie knots. He's like, the monkey's foot, the monkey's fist, the monkey. That's what I hear every time I see this. But anywho, The Monkey is coming to theaters on February 21st, and it is described as when twin brothers Bill and Hal find their father's old monkey toy in the attic, a series of gruesome deaths start. The siblings decide to throw the toy away and move on with their lives, growing apart over the years. And we will be reviewing this movie next episode. I am very excited for this movie. It looks hilarious, but also 100% silly and stupid. So I'm hoping that it's a sweet mixture of, like, genuine funniness, a little bit of stupidity, and then also just being kind of spooky.
Yeah, it looks creepy as hell from the trailer. And, you know, those monkey toys like that, they're, you know, there's a few different kinds of whatever. They're creepy. They're creepy looking. They've always been creepy looking. And, yeah, you know, this is a Stephen King short story, so I'm excited about that. I love Stephen King stuff. So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this.
Yeah, absolutely. But it looks silly, but I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be actually pretty scary, hopefully. I hope the trailers are, like, kind of burying a little bit some of the spookiness, because surely, I mean, it can be spooky, I think. But we're going to move on now to our last little bit of information about upcoming releases. We had a lot to talk about, so this is our last little bit. We have Hashtag Manhole coming to Screambox on February 25th. The Japanese film is described as a groom-to-be turns to social media for help when he finds himself trapped in a manhole. This sounds like holy shit all over again. I'll watch it. I think this could be funny. It could be interesting. But yeah, I mean, just simply an interesting tagline, if nothing else, is that it's called Hashtag Manhole, but it is also about a guy stuck in a manhole. So, hey, I'm down for it.
Yeah. Well, I think the hashtag probably because, you know, he uses social media to help him, I guess. So, but yeah, it looks interesting. You know, I had trepidation about holy shit and I really liked it. So, but we'll see about this one. I'll give it a chance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you said, always give it a shot, because if nothing else, you know, it'll be a fun little time. But with that being said, that is all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. So when we come back, we'll have our official review of Delicate Arch. So don't go anywhere.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and welcome back. We're glad you're still with us, or at least we hope you're still with us. If you're not with us, then I guess you don't know the difference. But it is review time, and we are reviewing the movie Delicate Arch. The movie was released February 11th on Screambox, written and directed by Matthew Warren, starring William Leon, Kelly Mack, Kevin Bolieber, and Renee Leach. I probably should just put there's only one other actress. She was the narrator, and that's the entire cast. There's nobody else in this movie. You know, I didn't know what to expect from this movie. The description was, you know, a little, I don't know, didn't give you a lot to go with to know. You know that, you know, these people were going to this, you know, the Delicate Arch, which is whatever, in the desert. And, you know, I had seen some people mention in a review that it was, you know, I'm trying to be spoiler-free, but it's a trippy movie. And I'm telling you, it is definitely a trippy movie. And it definitely... I'm just gonna put it out there. I fucking loved the movie. I thought it was really, really good. I thought it was very slow moving for a while, and I thought, okay, what's trippy about this movie? It's just not, I don't get it, right? It's just not, you know, let's just get there already. But man, when it got to the trippy part, dude, I mean, it was like, you know, this is only a minor spoiler, and I don't think it's giving anything away, but I mean, it's like they're demonstrating to you, you know, guys tripping on mushrooms, and it's like they're doing all kinds of weird stuff. It's meta. It is, you know, kicking at the fourth wall. But it's very unique. You know, some of those things, it's like you think of it in context and you think, well, that sounds like it could be goofy, but it's really not the way they did it. It's pretty terrifying. The way they did it, it's scary. And the cast, those four friends, they were great. They were all really, really talented. The one stoned out girl who is just like, she was just like afraid of everything. She was a conspiracy theorist who was just afraid of everything. It was always just high or stoned, or she was the best. I mean, she was great. I was loving her. But they very quickly, they established unique personalities with these four. And I love that. I love when a movie does that, where it's not like you feel like it's four the same kind of person, right? These four individuals had very unique personalities. And it really worked then, where when you had this, you know, group movie and the four of them together, because it gave you four unique perspectives on what was happening and how they reacted and how they dealt with it. You know, I didn't go into this movie with a lot of expectations. I don't know. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what it was. It felt like it was kind of undersold a little bit. I don't know. I didn't even know what it exactly was going to be. And then, like I said, when it was going, I thought, oh, you know, it's a good, you know, it's an all right movie, and they're doing a good job. And I thought, man, let's get to the terrifying stuff. Where's the scary stuff? And then it's like, man, it really started going, and it was fun, and it kind of blew my mind, and I really enjoyed it. So, Ike, what'd you think of Delicate Arch?
Well, I guess first things first, I did not hate it. I don't think I quite enjoyed it as much as Dave did. I thought it was an interesting movie. I'll give it some positives. Like you said, it was a little bit of a slow burn. I do like the ending. I do like how it kind of ended at the end, kind of capped itself off. I thought that was a very unique little twist that I did not see coming. So I'll give it that. Like you said, all the people in this movie, they work together super well. Exactly kind of like you said, it really seemed like this was four friends, or however many friends, just having a good time making a movie. And that's genuinely how it felt. And I really enjoyed the chemistry that they had. And then in addition to that, you know, like you say, you had some character development that you don't see a lot of times in horror films, much less indie horror films, which is obviously a shame. But in addition to that, you know, the movie was very uniquely shot. It was very trippy, and it very much reminded me of that movie from a couple years back, The Outwaters, that we reviewed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I definitely got some of those vibes from this movie, and you know, I like the Outwaters, but my problem with the Outwaters was that it was a little too experimental, and I think that while this movie wasn't like overtly experimental, I do think that it had some issues with pacing. I felt like there were some times where you had these really weird lulls where it was like, okay, nothing's really going on, it seems like, and then it would just kick up for a minute and then go back into a little bit of a lull. Specifically around the time where oh, you went missing, and then like, oh, wait, there's zombies, or oh, wait, there's this, or oh, wait, there's that. It was kind of this weird pacing that seemed a little weird. And even without the lulls, I felt a little lost at times. I felt like I couldn't keep up. But I mean, like you said, it was a good movie. It was shot very nicely. It was very unique. The storytelling was unique. And then, like I said, that little twist at the end definitely caught me by surprise a little bit. I wasn't anticipating that. But I don't know. Like I said, I got Outwaters vibes from this. And so I think it maybe fell for some of those same traps that the Outwaters had. But it was by no means an unenjoyable movie. It was just maybe not as mind blowing as I was hoping it to be.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but I just very much enjoyed it. I thought it was experimental enough to be enjoyable, but not so much that it was just over the top. You know, clearly it's not believable, but let's be real, right? Lots of horror movies are not what you call believable. Yeah, I don't know. I think just the, I don't know, the way the four worked together, the way they interacted, it just felt so natural. And then it just, I don't know, the trippiness worked for me. And it definitely got trippy. And it was just, I think it was just fun. And, you know, I'm not, you know, I think it was just creative enough to be good, but not so creative that they just completely lost you in it. And, you know, again, it was a little slow early on. It took a little long to get to where they needed to be. You know, I don't think we needed quite as much of some of the backstory they gave us. I think we pretty much got the gist of it pretty quickly of what was happening. And, you know, so I think sometimes they oversold it a little bit, but I still very much enjoyed the movie. That was a fun watch.
Absolutely. No, and I agree. I won't say that it was, like I said, it wasn't unenjoyable. It was definitely a fun watch, but I don't know. It was just there was a couple little areas here and there where it just kind of, I don't know, not that I lost interest, but it didn't quite grasp me the way I wanted it to. But it was still fun though. It was still fun. Like I said, I think a lot of people enjoy the little twist that they put at the end there, and it was very trippy how they did it. So that I gotta give it. That gives it an A+ in my book.
All right. Well, then let's just jump right to it then. Let's rank Delicate Arch, or rate it. I'm going to give it just a notch above that middle of the ground, because I think it had a little more going for it because of some of the swings they took. I think it worked. Not so much that it, you know, would really push it to the upper echelon. But it was creative and fun enough for me that I'm going to give Delicate Arch a 3.5 out of 5. I did enjoy it. I think it's a movie that I'd probably watch again at some point. There's enough there to make it fun for me, but not so much going for it that it's going to put it into that upper tier of just super great movies.
Right. No, I agree. And I think to just jump in and go ahead and give my ranking, like you said, this wasn't it did have some very unique elements to it, but it was not groundbreaking by any margin.
Yeah.
It was a very enjoyable movie, but like we said, there does come a point with these movies where it is just kind of regurgitating stuff. And like I said, this very much felt like Outwaters, just a little less like, you know, cracked out on LSD and meth. So it's like, I don't want to fault it for not being the Outwaters or being different from the Outwaters or even comparing it to the Outwaters, but I just get that vibe. So I got to give it that 3, middle of the road, 3 out of 5. It was enjoyable. I had fun. But I think that being realistic, that would be what I would give it, is a 3 out of 5.
Yeah. All right. Well, still pretty strong for us. You know, no, nothing negative there. Just a fun movie that I think everybody should go watch. It's one of those movies That when you see it, you know, you're like, okay, I see why this is not a theatrical release type movie. It's not that level. But it's one of those movies where it's like you're glad there is something like a Scream box to get it out there because it's
Yes.
still a fun watch. It's still, again, that comparison, you know, we always make to the old, you know, walk in the DVD, the new release wall in a video store, you know, with these streaming services. It's still one of those kind of movies that, you know what, it warrants being out there, but it's, you know, it's not going to get a theatrical run. So, thankfully, you know, we have these services to get it out there because it was fun. It was worth the watch. So, but like we said earlier, next episode we are reviewing The Monkey, the adaptation of the Stephen King short story. This is a movie that I've been looking forward to, and it's been super hyped. I've heard lots of good things about it. I'm super excited. So we'll see whether it meets my expectations or whether it lets me down. So we will have all of that next episode. Before we close this one out, I'd like to say thank you to our wives and then all the listeners and followers for all of their supports, shares, interactions, etc. Please make sure you guys tell a friend to check us out here on Listen to Their Screams and help us grow our audience even more, which is a continual growth. But we hope that you'll tell a friend and help us to continue to grow. And while you're out there supporting us, make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much all of the social media platforms. All you have to do is search for Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you will find us. Or just look up Listen to Their Screams, and I'm sure you can find us that way too. But we're on pretty much any platform, so just go and look us up and give us a follow. So, Ike, before we close out this episode, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, no, not too much else on my end. You know, this last weekend, this is just a little like pondering that I had. This last weekend, I went over to, you know, here in Pensacola, the area that I live in. I went over to like the downtown area, and we have the convention center. And this weekend was Pensacon, which it, we was I was supposed to go to it, but Damian Leone and David Harrod Thornton canceled, so I was not able to. I mean, not that I wasn't able to go, I just didn't want to go. They were the only people I really wanted to see. But it got me thinking. I was like, you know, maybe one day Dave and I need to pop up at a convention somewhere somehow.
Yeah, we will. Definitely. I think it's one of those things, you know, we've said it's on the short list of goals. Yeah, you never know. We will probably have to start, you know, somewhere a little smaller scale to get our feet wet.
True.
But yeah, you never know where we might pop up. So if you guys have a favorite horror convention or out there, you know, let us know. You never know where we might pop up or might travel to. We're all about, like we said earlier, we like traveling. We might just come to your neck of the woods. Who knows? But you might get to see and meet us in person. Never know.
True.
But yeah, it's definitely one of those things that we have on the short list of goals that will happen as like I said, as we naturally grow. That's definitely an upcoming step. Maybe, who knows? Maybe sooner or later. Never know what opportunities will arise. So. There you go. How's that for an exciting tease, I guess, folks?
There you go. A little
Sometime we're going
teaser
to do a
for
convention. We just don't know when. So I guess you're just going to have to stick around to know when.
we
There you
don't
go.
know where, we don't know when, we don't know how, but it might happen eventually somewhere.
I feel like when the floodgates open, though, it's just going to be, we're going to just start popping up everywhere. Never know.
We're gonna be popping up like roaches.
That might be a good description for us. So, all right, there you go. Until next episode, this is Dave and Ike, your two favorite roaches. And next episode, we will be reviewing the monkey. I wonder how monkeys and roaches interact. I don't know. I feel like monkeys would eat roaches. I don't know.
I think so.
Probably. Monkeys eat weird stuff. So, but until next episode, when we will be reviewing the monkey. So go see it in theaters. Go, guys. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.